This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. A price hike for snail mail. U.S. Postal Service postage and some mailing services are increasing starting this week. Letters, postcards, and forever stamps cost about 5 cents more. Domestic shipping service prices for Priority Mail, Ground Advantage, and Parcel Select see an increase between 6 and 8%. USPS says the changes are part of its Delivering for America plan to ensure long-term financial sustainability. A 25-year-old man is in custody after a 7-year-old boy was abducted at gunpoint in Milwaukee. Jamal White was abducted on Friday near 61st and Hustis by an armed masked man in a white Jeep Renegade. Milwaukee police say he was found safely at around 6:30 on Saturday, about 6 miles away from 39th and Lloyd. The name is unknown of the suspect, but police say charges will be referred to the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. The Milwaukee Community Land Trust partnered with the city and 15 Olive to rehab 5 vacant properties. These homes are now owner-occupied and permanently affordable. Lamont Davis, executive director of MCLT, says this project hits close to home.
A lot of us, in the income that we make, we can never become homeowners. So it feels phenomenal when we're working with people and they are new homeowners, new stakeholders in the community, and new anchors to the neighborhood. So it feels great, man.
Davis says the land trust model supports families long after they move in. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. We saw it last Thursday. You can see it today. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of window and door options from 7 different Pella lines side by side. All you got to do is stop in or, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0% interest for up to 5 years, period. Certain restrictions apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield. That's exactly where we broadcast from last Thursday. Or you can schedule your free in-home consultation. Just go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. That's for you public school kids who can't spell straight. I'm a public school kid. I'm just kidding. Hey, Bob, what's going on? Bob going once, Bob going twice. No more Bob. Oh, 833-212-1017 is the number. He may call back. But before I get to my top five at five, I said I was going to talk about this Collins agreement. So I want you to read it, and then I want you to hear my rendition of what it was. So this is from Google. So I'm just reading a Google AI overview. In the Collins agreement in Milwaukee, which stemmed from the Collins versus City of Milwaukee lawsuit, the plaintiffs were six individuals: Charles Collins, Dallas Adams, Caleb Roberts, Steven Jansen, Gregory Chambers, and Alicia Silvestri. This is according to the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union. They brought lawsuit against the city of Milwaukee challenging the Milwaukee Police Department's stop and frisk practices. Not the fact that you do it, their practices and how they did it. The ACLU of Wisconsin, along with Covington and Burling LLP law firm, represented the plaintiffs. The lawsuit filed in 2017 alleged that police department practices disproportionately targeted Black and Latino individuals and violated their constitutional rights under the 4th and 14th Amendments, according to the ACLU. The agreement reached in 2018 aimed to reform the city's stop and frisk policies and practices. So what is stop and frisk, right? New York took it to a whole new level. What stop and frisk was, basically, it's reasonable suspicion. When you see somebody, it's like a step between reasonable suspicion and probable cause to arrest somebody. I'm making it as simple as possible, because if I explain it how it's explained in the state of Wisconsin blue book for law enforcement officers and all that, you'll get confused. Basically, if I see you doing something and something triggers me as a law enforcement officer, Supreme Court says that law enforcement officers have the ability to use what's called intuition based on training and experience. So after 30 some odd years, sometimes I see things and it triggers me to go, what's that person doing? Their movements, their actions, their thoughts, their looks tend to be what's called furtive or suspicious. They're kind of like, what is that person doing? They've walked past here like 6 times. What's going on? Terry versus Ohio was the genesis of that, because the Supreme Court said, if you see somebody and they put multiple things together, time of day, where the person is walking, what they're doing, things they do repeat, and they create a pattern, it's called reasonable suspicion. Because of that reasonable suspicion, I can stop you. Now, the pat-down piece means that you have to have a fear that there's a weapon and this person may be armed, right? So depending on if the person is homeless, because homeless people are known by law enforcement to carry weapons. And many of them are former military, so they actually know how to use it. Drug dealers are known to carry weapons. Gang members are known to carry weapons. Well, how do you know I'm a gang member? Well, I don't know. Y'all dressed alike. You talk alike. I see you in the same place. Like, all those things together create what's called reasonable suspicion. And if your actions warrant a stop, Supreme Court says I can stop you and detain you momentarily within a reasonable amount of time in order to ascertain who you are, why you're there, and whether or not you're doing anything wrong. Now, the Supreme Court also says that if you feel like you didn't do anything wrong and you didn't say anything wrong, you could tell the police to go kick rocks. And that part the police don't like. And I've said it. When I've done stops in the past, I would always say, hey, I'm Officer Harris, Milwaukee Police, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to talk to me if you want to, but the reason why I'm stopping you is because I am blah, 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 blah. I've only had one person say it. They didn't want to talk to me, and I said, okay. He took 3 steps away, turned around and said, you really going to let me walk away? I said, sir, it's your right. He said, what you looking for? I said, I'm asking you whether or not you've seen somebody who looks like this and this, this, this. They committed this crime, and they're a suspect. Dude said, thank you. My point is, when used properly, that's true. Now, what may have happened is they went back and looked at all the reports that the police department generated, right? And we have some knucklehead supervisors who use this idiotic word called quality field interview. Well, I know in certain districts, quality meant Black people and Hispanic people. So that part of the argument, I agree with 100%. The issue is, the training is, everybody gets information filled out on them, whether they were part of it or not, witness or not, everybody. And that's not what they did. And I remember being at the police academy telling a lieutenant when I was a police officer, if y'all don't stop that, and if you don't make officers fill out the information that they're supposed to, they're going to bite themselves in the behind. This department is going to be liable. And that lieutenant, I'll tell him about that. He never did. And then the department gets jammed up. They get sued. Collins Agreement happens, and now they get egg on their face. The flip side to that is, the other side, I guess it's a three-sided coin. The other side to that is that now officers are so afraid to do their jobs because they're getting sued, they're getting fired, they're getting jammed up for writing reports the wrong way, putting in a word or using the word black, or all kind of generic nonsense that the American Civil Liberties Union has them doing now because of this idiotic Collins Agreement. And so now officers are not proactive. When they see something that might look suspicious, they don't act. They only act after the fact. Guess what? I would too. If you're going to jam me up, get me fired, lose my pension, lose my family, lose my house, lose my car, lose my job, everything because of what you feel might not be right when, in fact, under the law, under rules and procedures, is correct. Collins Agreement came in and killed all that. Basically, it destroyed the department. And now nobody in their right mind would do something proactively because everybody wants to sue. And Respondent Superior says that if you work for an organization and that organization has rules and procedures and guidelines in place and you follow them, that organization is now responsible for any liability, which is what the city was. Juries have decided, nah, we're going to skip that. We're just going to go after the cop and take whatever they got because they don't like the police or for whatever reason they do it. I don't know. And now we have a society where people are actually taking advantage of it. We saw it during COVID when the governor said you didn't have to register your car. You could do your license by mail. All those things churned through the community. And now I remember getting hollered at by people about COVID. You're going to kill people. You're going to. And all the dire things actually didn't happen. And so now we're sitting here. And as a byproduct, people could, for 5 years, could now do whatever the heck they wanted to do. And so that's the society we have. So you can't complain about it. You can't get mad about it. It is what it is. You allowed the city of Milwaukee to lose the lawsuit. And now you have this agreement in place that has tied the hands of law enforcement and they can't do their job. And the governor will never send in the National Guard to help them. And so every citizen in the city of Milwaukee could be in danger. And if they defend themselves, the DA's office is going to lock them up and prosecute them. What's the alternative? You let people run roughshod over your city. And Milwaukee's going to go the way of formerly Detroit, now New York, Newark, New Jersey, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco. It'll turn into a trash heap. Why? Because the citizens of the city didn't stand up and tell their leadership, stop this. And tell the ACLU to go kick rocks. And this is what we're doing. And we're going to give you, the police department, an impossible task that no one could ever fulfill so we can keep them under our thumb. And so now that the agreement has run out, but yet they're still under it because they can't fulfill all of the things that they need to fulfill, they're still under the thumb of this idiotic, numbskullish, ridiculous agreement. And you have them to thank for the crime. You have them to thank for a lack of law enforcement, of people wanting to become law enforcement officers. You have them to thank for the shootings of police officers. You have them to thank. I'm talking about the agreement itself, not the people, the agreement. You have that to thank. So stop complaining. When it stepped up, you stood up on the side of the ACLU and jammed up the police. Well, now you got to pay for it. As a citizen of the city of Milwaukee, you are now culpable in causing crime if you did not speak up and make sure your city was safe. You were so busy trying to stop the police, you forgot about the criminals that they stopped. And so now you get it. You literally... You ready? You literally threw the baby out with the bathwater. And now you're trying to wash up. I need a bath. It's kind of, you know, you might ask me, but it's kind of too late.
Number 5.
From CBS 58. Hey, Kyle, I got a question. I got a sports question. You ready? What y'all put in the Milwaukee Brewers breakfast?
Winning sauce.
Man, I ain't like what? Like I'm like, well, 6-0. I guess they had to lose one. You know, after 6 games, I'm literally sitting there watching the TV. 9th inning, pow, home run. I'm like, what? Wait, what? Wow. Amazing baseball. Unfortunately, they're still behind the Chicago Cubs by 1 game. So we'll see how that goes. That was a phenomenal. Durbin hit a walk-off single, and the Brewers won 6-5 over the Nationals. Absolutely. So if you don't go to Brewers games, I think you should start. I think you should sign up. I really do. They have been doing an absolutely phenomenal job. It's been great. It has.
Number 4.
Milwaukee police have arrested 3 men at homes tied to the abduction of 7-year-old Jamal White, who was taken at gunpoint last Friday by a masked man. A police arrest log showed on yesterday. Jamal was found safe Saturday evening, and a 25-year-old was arrested at the home where Jamal was discovered, while police also made arrests of 2 people at the home from which White was abducted. The persons arrested where White was found in the 2000 block of North 39th was arrested on the 12th at 5:45 and is in custody for a probation violation. One of the 2 people arrested at the home from which White was taken was being held on tentative charges of resisting and obstructing, and the other was being held on a tentative charge of second-degree recklessly endangering safety. Both are 27 years of age. It's unclear yesterday if the charges – this is from JS Online – it's unclear yesterday if the charges were related to the abduction. Police have not released any details since Jamal was found. If you remember, White was abducted outside his home July 11th in the 6200 block of West Houston Street on the northwest side and put into a white Jeep Renegade by an unknown man in a black face mask. He was found close to 24 hours later after about 6.5 miles away from his home near 39th and Lloyd. So Nikki Harrington, one of White's cousins, told the Journal Sentinel she was excited and relieved when she found out White was alive. So there has to be something additional to this story. I explained how the Amber Alert works at the beginning. I explained the investigation that had to take place. That there's no rock that's not overturned. And they found him. Now, later, I'm going to be talking about some of those things that go like, something's fishy here. Something's strange here. Something's weird here. And we'll include this one when I talk about that one.
Number 3.
Well, David Remicker, the newly elected chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, says he absolutely wants Governor Tony Evers to seek a third term. He told WISN's up front, this is from WISN.com, I pray that he decides to seek re-election, but either way, I know the Democratic Party will be in a great position to ensure he's either re-elected or elected Democrat in 2026. Interesting. He says, Governor Evers has been a fantastic partner to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He's even put on pause his own election efforts to help fundraise for some of our state's legislative work on cycles when he hasn't been on the ballot. He's a tremendous fundraiser. And I think that when you look at what happens in this scenario where he doesn't run for re-election, there's certainly going to be plenty of other folks out there trying to raise money. Like who? Like who else could run for governor? Who black could run for governor? You know, the Democrats ain't going to let a black man be governor in the state of Wisconsin. You would probably have a better chance as a Republican being black than you would being black and a Democrat. Have we ever had a black person run for governor? I mean, legitimately, get backed by the Democratic Party, get the nomination at the party, right? At the state convention, and run. I'm just wondering. You get the same, well, you know, you're not ready yet. You know, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, you gotta work harder. You gotta raise money. Yeah. Unfortunately, the same thing with Democrats always continues. You're never ready, but they can come out the blue and take advantage of your misgivings and take your job. I think that's how we lost the city attorney. Yeah. That same person always steps up into a position when another black person is struggling and takes their job. Because we already know that, you know, it's the great white hope. You know, if black person does wrong, we'll just replace them with a white person. We know it'll be better. Yeah. Okay. And then there's this.
Number two.
From CBS 58, two people are dead and three others were sent to the hospital with injuries after shooting outside a downtown nightclub in the early hours of Saturday, July 12th. Milwaukee police said today they had arrested a 24-year-old man in connection to the quadruple shooting, which happened near the entrance of Element Lounge, located near the intersection of Water and Michigan. Friends and family identified 52-year-old Antoine Tweezy Huggins, a Milwaukee rapper, promoter, and business owner, as one of the men killed in the shooting, which happened shortly after midnight. A 30-year-old, a 32-year-old, a 34-year-old, and a 39-year-old were also shot. The 39-year-old died from their injuries as well, police confirmed today. Outside Hogan's hookah store on the city's northwest side, there was a collection of photos, balloons, and poster boards containing messages from those who knew the promoter, who originally known as Young Twan and more recently as OG Tweezy. This afternoon, two of Hogan's three children stopped by the memorial. Sasha Hogan, 16, said, "He was always there for me every time I needed him. Every time I called, he was on the way. He's always there for me my whole life. That was my father, my protector, my everything." Juan Hogan, 20, said he noticed at a young age how people constantly came to his dad whenever they were out of the city. He added his father always had high expectations for him. Juan added, "His dream was for me to be more than what he was. It was a lot of pressure because he was real big in the city. I got no choice but to do it. Just a legacy to live on, go on, and make it happen." Juan and Sasha's mother, Candace Hogan, said she and Antoine divorced in 2020. However, she said they remained in touch and always felt like he was putting their children first. So we want to say condolences to the Hogan's family. I know a few of the relatives of the Hogan's family. So I want to say condolences to them and the family.
Number one.
We already talked about it. 35-year-old man accused of fatally shooting his 4-year-old son and the child's 33-year-old mother is facing criminal charges in connection. So we heard about the 4-year-old that was shot in the face, 75th and Northridge Lakes Boulevard, on the night of July 10th near the Glenbrook apartment homes. According to the criminal complaint, Ralph Taylor, who has a long history of domestic violence against Cassandra Taylor, mother of the 4-year-old victim. The victim's 9-year-old sibling told investigators, per the complaint, when Ralph drinks alcohol, he becomes physically and verbally abusive. He allegedly took the child and took the child upstairs, and the child subsequently was shot in the mouth. Cassandra allegedly took the gun, put it in a purse, and gave it to a neighbor to hide it. And so they were both arrested. He was charged with first-degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon, and possession of a firearm by a felon. And Cassandra has been charged with neglecting a child, consequences is death, and the straw purchase of a firearm. They went to court today. So it's once again, crickets. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's screaming. Nobody's hollering. We get the normal, it's terrible. It's a shame it's happening. And that's it. And so we go on. We move on. And it's really unfortunate. All this death in the city and no answer. Task force isn't going to do it. individuals are going to have to be responsible or be held responsible. Hey, when we come back, I'll see you on the chat. 833-212-1017, what you got to say, along with the YouTube chat lines and the talking text line. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hey. Hey. Teach me how to tell you, hey. Baby, like smooth. What? Can you teach me how to tell you? You know why?
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I've been playing the music all today. It was short because I did it. I was late. Cruising in, drinking my water, hanging out, trying to teach Glenn how to Dougie. Can you Dougie?
Of course. This is a staple in my childhood.
All right. 833-212-1017 is the number. I said I was going to check the talking. Let me check the talk of text line. All right, what y'all talking about? YouTube chat says, Dr. Ken, I watched a documentary on Stop and Frisk issue in New York, and it was not properly conducted to the point where a lot of the victims ended up in Rikers Island. Correct. Abstract Noir said, that sounds like an excuse. What sounds like an excuse? How's that different from New York Stop and Frisk, if you do not mind me asking? Well, to generate reasonable suspicion, someone has to look like they're doing something wrong. And you have to be able to articulate that they're doing something wrong. I saw the person walk past the person, glance at the purse five times, put stuff in their purse when they were in the retail, trying to do a retail theft, all that. And then when they walk through, they weren't going to pay for it. Now, the law used to be you had to walk past the last place of purchase in order to be charged with retail theft. Now, if you conceal it in the store, that's considered retail theft. Right? But what about if you're homeless, you don't have any money, you've been begging outside the door, and then you walk in and no one has given you money, they got you on video, and now you start walking around and walking around and walking around, gathering up all this stuff, and then start running. Like, do we stop you then? Like, where is it? Do the police finally say, sir, can I help you? Because we know that you haven't had any money any other time. Blah, blah, blah. Well, now you can't do any of that. You can't do any of that. So when your mother, father, sister, brother gets robbed, or gets knocked down and their purse stolen, and the person said this person has been walking around looking suspicious, walking around, you know, mean mugging everybody, and nobody did anything, guess what? You can't. Because the ACLU changed the rules. Of all the cops that did it right, we only went after the ones that did it wrong and said they represent everybody else. So now you got what you got. And the cops are held to doing bad things. Like where is it? Like, how many cops need to be locked up and go to jail? Where is it that they need to lose their jobs for making mistakes? Because there's a difference in a mistake and there's a difference in actually doing something intentionally. And believe me, I don't know about other places, but Milwaukee had some bad cops and I worked with some of them. But the majority of them would turn in another cop if they committed a crime. I'm just saying, because I've seen it happen and I've done it. So the police are held accountable every day. And sometimes we lose our lives for people we don't even know who actually hate us and bash us and complain. And then the first thing out of a person's mouth is what? You're not the police anymore. You retired. Because they are so negative that they'll say anything that bashes the police. And I say, fine, take 911 off your phone and don't ever call for police. Tell your family don't call either. And if they're victims of a crime, tell them just suck it up and be tough. Because you cannot have it both ways. If we're going to be held accountable, if they're going to be held accountable, then you need to be held accountable. And that means jail and prison. Stop complaining when people commit crimes that they shouldn't be arrested and go to jail. Stop crying this idiocy of, oh, you're only arresting them because they're black. When you work in a district that's predominantly black. This is dumb. Yeah, people telling me, you pulled me over because I'm black. No, I pulled you over because you crashed your car. And you hit somebody and tried to drive away. Like, are we kidding? So, now the flip side is white people think whenever a black person commits a crime, they're wrong. And they always want to convict a black person on a technicality, but they always seem to want to get a white person off on a technicality. It's okay for the white person to get off on a technicality, but it's not okay for the black person to get off on a technicality. They need to go to jail. They need to be held responsible. I say hold everybody responsible. But that starts with you. If you're going to hold the cops responsible, you got to hold you responsible as well. Because the bottom line is if you held yourself responsible and were accountable, we wouldn't need the police. But anyway, you're sitting here telling me cops can't do their job the correct way without hurting others all the time. That, okay, abstract noir, that sounds dumb. What are you even talking about? Everybody is human. And everybody makes mistakes, and everybody does things intentionally. That's why criminals intentionally hurt people and commit crimes. Do you complain about them? Are you sitting here telling me that criminals get to do their jobs and hurt people? Because the cops that hurt people, how many people got hurt last week, last month, last year by the police? How many? You have no idea. We just make stuff up without looking at the data to find out exactly what it is. Look at the number of people that were arrested, tried, and convicted, and then look at the number of bad cops that got convicted. And that number is significantly different. Anyway. Curly Q said we need a Brewers outing. Yeah, we do. That one guy was going on Truth Charter Fishing. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Felix C. the second said, what if a person goes into a bank with a mask on? Should you still ask him, may I help you, or trip the silent alarm? I say trip the silent alarm. You know, a bank is one of those places where you can't wear a mask unless certain things are in place that it violates your rights. Anyway. Okay, y'all tripping. Let me. Let me look at the talking text line, because y'all be on something. Seriously, y'all be on something. I don't know. Sandra said, wanted to tell you, Winky Blue. Yeah, I know. I saw that. Let me go through these. Tell her. Hey, D'Angel. It's not secret anymore if somebody wrote a, but I'm going to have to look that up. Rest of the show, play positive rap. We grew up on Public Enemy, Poor Righteous Teachers, Kid and Play. Okay, I'm never playing Kid and Play on my show. Like, what is wrong with Kid and Play? Okay, I'm done. Okay, I got to stop reading the talking text line because somebody said play Kid and Play. That is bubblegum music.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Now watch this. That's what I played before because I was too busy running off at the mouth and talking. And it was Glenn's fault. You!
Soldier Boy, tell me. Hey, I got this new damn for y'all called the Soldier Boy.
Now why would I take... Well, it was clearly my fault because I was playing it. But I got to blame Glenn because, I mean, why would I take? Why would I take? Like me? Like be accountable? Me?
Never. Really?
Exactly. Be accountable. Listen, if you can't be accountable for you, your kids, then I can't. I mean, I'm just saying.
Soldier boy been here. Oh. Why me lean that? Why me rock? Superman that? Oh. Yeah, why me crack that RoboCop?
Anyway, 833-212-1017 is the number for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, for windows with the strongest resilience, you really need the Pella experience. I got it on last Thursday. We were at the Pella Experience Center. It lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines side by side. Stop by soon because if you order by July 31st, then you get 0% interest for up to 5 years. However, certain restrictions apply. So visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You gon' rap it out, now walk it out. Southern style DJs, DJ my time the track. DJ on, we at it again, baby. Now here we go. Now walk it out, 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 now hit the dance flow, hey, bend your back low, do it with no hands, stop, pop and roll, I'm smoking bubble. Yeah, now you trouble.
It's called the clean version.
Now everybody lean, I make the crowd rock. Now go and walk it out. I see they on my job. She like that bubble gum.
The tame, quiet, downright lame version. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Glenn was like, what is that? I can't play the other versions because if I play the other versions, I won't have a radio show. You might not have a radio station because I'm just saying. So, you know, you got to play the clean and be nice and, you know, be humble and all that stuff. Because, yeah. Somebody said you can't call kid and play bubblegum music and play candy flavored blankety blank. That's your opinion, and I don't care what you think. Abstract noir, like I was going to call you out. Anyway, so everything I played today was bubblegum music. Everything I played today was bubblegum. Come on now. Come on now. So every Monday, I think I'm going to get back to my Music Monday, and I'm going to just either find a genre or find a abstract noir. You crazy. Find a genre or find an artist and just play that music. Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, everybody talking about since there's no Beyond the Mic, what are we going to do? I said, well, we can hang out. No, not Popular Cube. And everybody's into that. See, that's the problem. Everybody is, you know, they only go after the stuff that they know. But anyway, that's okay. That's okay. We're gonna work something out. We'll have a meetup somewhere. Just chill and say we're going to be here from this time to that time and hang out. But here's the kicker. You ready? If I show up, I am not talking about radio. I'm not. I'm not going to talk on the radio for 10 hours a week. Think about it for 20, 30 hours a week. And then turn around and have a conversation with you about stuff I already talked about. I'm not doing that. We just going to hang. Talk about the weather. Talk about the Brewers, the Bucks, the Packers, all that. Politics and all that, that's off the table. All that. You guys have fun. Hang out. Chill. Speaking of, today in Black History, Black Facts for July 14th. Lady Bo, you know who that is? You know who Bo Diddley is?
No, I do not.
Wow, you do not know your Black History worth squat. I am so embarrassed to be here with you, Glenn. I gotta gin it up when there's really nothing there. I just question, and the fact that you are from Harlem.
Isn't that a part of a saying, like diddly squat or something?
No, Bo Diddley, he's a musician, a Black. Oh my God, I'm done. Anyway, Lady Bo was born today. She's the original girl guitar player, the first female guitarist in history to be hired by a major rock and roll musician, born as Peggy Jones in New York. In 1891, the famous inventor Jay Standard was awarded a patent for making what? Refrigerators. 18 years old. In 1951, George Washington Carver National Monument was presented in Joplin, Missouri. George Washington, you know who George Washington Carver is, at least?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right, I'm just checking. Whew. I'm just checking because, you know, sometimes. You know who Sarah Good is? She was the former, 1855, owner of a furniture store in Chicago, Illinois. Her claim to fame is that she was the first Black woman to receive a patent in an effort to bring to for people to maximize their limited space. She created, you ready? The folding cabinet bed. So beds that fold out of the wall, she invented that. Is that cool or what? That's what I'm talking about. And also, there's a guy that was born today. Happy birthday. What's his name? No, it's not his name, but technically it is. His name was Sean Carter, and everybody calls him Jay-Z because in 2017, on this day, he decided that that was his name. They used to call him Jazzy. Ugh, that's embarrassing. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Truth Unfiltered is coming up with little old me, so make sure you hang around for 2 more hours of me running off at the mouth and pontificating and doing all sorts of fun things. You can also check me out Sunday nights from 7 to 9 on our sister station, 620 WTMJ. Hey, y'all, God bless. Take care. And remember, I'm out.